The following episode of The Drop-In is brought to you by Spoke, a new free listening app from SiriusXM.
The following is an at-will presentation.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Drop-In with Will Melnati.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Drop-In. This is episode 8 of season 3. Today's episode was recorded in Los Angeles, California at Missy Modell's apartment. She is the host of That One Song. If you haven't heard That One Song, go check it out on the At Will Radio Network. So if this episode sucks, blame Missy. We changed it up a bit last week and I gave you a list of things that did not annoy me. And, people seem to really appreciate the fact that I'm not always an asshole. But guess what? We're back. Mitch is going to put 60 seconds on the clock, and I'm going to tell you some of the things that annoyed me this week. And we've got a special surprise for you at the end. Ready, Mitch? Set. Go. Is the phrase bless you still a thing that you're supposed to say when a stranger sneezes? I feel like when I sneeze in public, I don't need someone making sure that I know that they know that I sneeze. Because that's all it really is. It's kind of a joke at this point. When I've been in a store for less than 5 seconds and someone in the store asks me if I'm finding everything all right, it's like, I've been here for 5 seconds. If you give me at least 10, maybe I'll have an answer for that. When you ask someone a question but they don't respond because they're busy with wireless headphones in their ears that look like bent cigarettes or something. Have you seen these new Apple wireless ridiculous looking things? Don't get me started. When people say, did you get my email in person? Like you're walking down the hallway and someone says, hey, did you get my email? Well, if you emailed me, then I'll email you back. You know, you don't respond to a postcard with a walkie-talkie. Just saying. And now for a special segment of things that annoy Will, actress Addison Timlin, my guest for today, has some grievances of her own. Mitch, put a minute on the clock.
Things that annoy me are when I go to the gym and the guy behind the counter says, have a good workout. I resent the implication that anyone is having a good time working out because I've never had a good time working out. Another thing that annoys me is when I'm at the store and someone says, do you want to save $5? And I say, yeah, of course I do. But then they make you fill out all this information. It takes about 10 minutes of your day. And then you get an email every morning that you have to delete. Another thing that I really find super annoying is when someone whispers the word black when they're talking about a black person and they say black in a hushed whisper. I'm not saying you're a racist, but that's the best way to sound like one. Pretty much every phone call I've ever received, except for the ones from my mother, but I do consider voicemails a hate crime. I also get really annoyed when a girl at dinner asks me to go to the bathroom with her because I only ever want to go to the bathroom by myself, and I think it's really weird that girls do that, and I think we should talk about it. Also, when Netflix asks if you're still doing nothing with your life after only 3 episodes of binge watching, and I'm like, keep it to yourself, thank you. Another thing that annoys me is when someone is spreading hate on a global scale, but she calls it her latest single.
Thank you, Addison. It is nice to know that I'm not the only disgruntled person on this earth. Without further ado, you know her from TV shows, Californication and Zero Hour, movies like That Awkward Moment and Fallen. Here to talk about her new series, Startup on the network Crackle. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Addison Timlin.
Where were you? Where were you before this? Where were you coming from?
The Abbey? Just a quick drop in to say hello to a friend. The Abbey. It's like the most famous gay bar in West Hollywood,
right.
Basically.
So who was there?
My friend.
I wasn't necessarily... Are you okay? She just spilled on herself. I wasn't She's very excited for this interview. I wasn't necessarily asking it for myself. I was more asking for others.
Okay. Well, the truth is I was meeting with... I was going to say hello to a producer of the television program that I started working on. Because she was in town for just a couple days, mm-hmm. and she's leaving tonight, so I just wanted to say hello.
What was the scene like at the Abbey at 2 p.m.
It's
on a Sunday?
A lot like what the scene is at any other bar at 2 a.m. on a Friday.
What?
Yeah, people are getting wild. You know, there's men in no clothes dancing, mm-hmm. Lots of spirits flowing.
Okay.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you just went in there like casually, cool, calm, and collected, walked in. Hey, I'm
hello,
here for my meeting.
Here, just here to say hello.
Did you have a drink?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
But you were offered one, I'm assuming, so.
Well, I didn't give myself that much time, and I was coming here, so I was like, yeah, you know.
See, yeah, I guess I could probably go either way on that. I thought maybe you would want to have a drink before you
I thought that I did.
To me.
But then I thought, it's the same, really. You know, me plus one versus me without.
I guess. So tell me your life story in 10 seconds or less.
Okay, so I was born, I was the youngest, four kids. So I've got siblings and stuff, which is cool. I've got a cool mom and a cool dad. You know, classic unconventional family. I started.
Your 10 seconds is up.
Yep.
No. Go ahead.
I don't know, what else? I grew up in New York City. I started acting when I was a small child.
A baby.
Le bébé. Yep.
Huggies commercials.
No, I wish. I just kind of went straight to the top, for lack of a better term. But
you were offered the Huggies commercial, and you were like,
and I passed. I was like, yeah. I'm bigger than this.
Okay, tell me what the top looked like from a 5-year-old perspective.
Okay, so it was, I was 8, and it was playing Little Orphan Annie on the old Big Broadway.
Mm-hmm. The Broadway, okay.
The old Big Broadway.
No, and how long did you do this? Wasn't it something crazy, like 17,000 performances?
Something, no, not that many, but a lot. It was a lot. I wish I remembered the number because I did at one point. No, I did at one point. No.
I feel like you've told it to me before in passing.
Yeah, because if you do the math, if I like really did the math, I did it like, I did 8 shows a week for 2 years probably. And then.
Yeah. And you're still resting from that.
Yeah.
You still need like a weekly.
I'm still on vocal rest from like the hours of noon to 4. Anyway. But I did, I mean, I did a lot. I did well over 3,000 performances, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I did the show off and on for like 5-6 years.
What was your least favorite part about that?
Quite honestly, not joking, probably vocal rest, because I was a kid.
Right. And all the other kids are screaming on the playground, and you're like, you guys.
Yeah, and I was like,
stop it.
And I was like writing in a notepad, like, I also think that joke was funny.
No, come on.
Yeah, for sure.
You had one of those chalkboards around your neck?
I wish. No, I just had a notepad and a pen, and I was in school with them, with the other kids, like 3 hours a day, which is the minimum amount of school you have to do when you're like a working professional.
Okay.
But in that time, I really wasn't supposed to speak, which was hard for me, especially.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if any of that has rubbed off, like, till the later life. Maybe you speak more now because 100%. You're silenced.
100%. I think that at one point, someone did say something to me. They were like, you were talking like no one had let you talk your entire life.
Mm.
And I was like, well, you know.
That's why we're here
for a
today.
Time. Here we are.
I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk more.
Thank you.
What kind of money were you making then? Like, what did you make per performance as an 8-year-old?
Well, like, much like how shoes are so much less expensive for 8-year-olds, they pay 8-year-olds. Yeah, they pay 8-year-olds less. Yeah,
they pay you in cookies and, like, Ritz Bits crackers.
No, but I mean, but truthfully, like, I was making the, like, principal salary for a Broadway show.
Which is what?
Which I think is $2,500 a week.
Okay, but that's like,
yeah, I mean,
still, I mean,
I was making a living for sure.
Yeah, you're doing like better than most.
Yeah, that's part. People. I mean, that's part of like the weird part about child actors.
And then, how much does an adult actor make on Broadway?
Well, it depends, because on Broadway now, it's like if you're an adult actor on Broadway, it's probably because you're also a television or movie star.
Well, now, but
you know what I mean.
That wasn't always the case.
But so yeah, in general, like not always the case. Some of it would be about the same, and then. Or if you had like, you know, like how it works. If you had a ton of experience and you get a little more.
How much? I have no idea.
No, truthfully, I have no idea.
You blew it all.
I blew it all.
Totally.
I blew it all.
I didn't have to ask you. I just need to know what you did with it.
I wish I had a better answer for you, but I did do.
Health insurance.
Health insurance, but I did do a lot of stuff. Like I traveled a lot.
Yeah. You as an 8-year-old in Bali.
Yeah.
On the beach.
Just sipping a virgin pina colada.
Okay.
No, but I did. I mean, when I was in high school, I had, you know, what a lot of kids in high school don't have, which is access to their own money, which is their own money that they earned, you know?
Sure.
And so I could do with it what I wanted, which a lot of times wasn't like cool or great or smart things. But and then other times it was, like traveling Europe and like going places.
For fun?
Yeah.
Okay. When did you have your first drink?
Oh, God. I think I was 13. It was at the wrap party, or the closing night party for a different show I did on Broadway called Gypsy.
I've heard of it.
And the kids in the show, we were drinking virgin apple martinis.
Sounds disgusting.
Thinking about it now, it makes me actually ill.
Because what actually is it? Yeah, it's gross.
But anyway, but at the time it was very sophisticated and grown up, and I loved it.
Okay.
But then I think that I was kind of, I think I was of the kids, perhaps maybe the most.
Yes, of course you were. Advanced?
Yeah. I don't know. I definitely had like the closer relationships with the adults.
Okay.
I was the least kid.
Yes, okay.
And I think that a group of the adults that were like so young, like I'm talking like 21, 19, 20, 21, 22. And I think that they thought it would be really funny to give me a real apple martini.
Who, the kids did or the adults did?
The adults did, but the adults were like.
That seems also rather wrong, okay?
Sure, but I think they were having a good time and they thought it'd be funny. And I don't know to
this day
who did
it. It's illegal.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, keep going.
But it was also like we were at a bar and like the bar had allowed the kids to be there because it was a show and whatever, okay. And we bought the whole place out. But anyway, they did that and they thought it was funny. And I think that there were more than one because, I mean, my mom will tell you that we're going home.
And you're like taking the top off.
We're going home and I'm like, I feel weird. And she's looking at me and I'm like flushed and I'm like hanging out the window of the cab.
Just smoking a cigarette out of the side. Yeah. She's like, something's not right.
And
she
then
doesn't
I'm like,
smoke.
I'm like, Mom, you got to tell this guy to pull over. But I didn't actually get sick until I got home.
Like a champ.
Like
a vet.
I knew. I didn't want to pay that fine, you know?
That's right. Okay, smart. So smart. Already thinking ahead. So you went home and puked your guts out and that was your first
time. And I remember
drinking.
My mom putting a wet washcloth on my head and being like, I can't believe this happened. And me being like, I can.
Yeah, you're like, you don't know what else also happened back there.
But
the other,
you know, like, no. But in general, like, in the backstage of a Broadway musical is, you learn a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like?
Just, it's a young, creative, sexy, talented people that are just wild. You know?
Really?
Yeah, and Gypsy is like a pretty wild show. Sure. It's about burlesque, so most of the time, most of the adults are walking around backstage with zero clothes on anyway.
Right, and there's just
and
some
so you just kind of like you're
eyes.
Just immune to it. No, you just like that's just it's the life.
And
of
was
the
everyone like sleeping with each other and
oh,
stuff?
Yeah,
did
definitely.
You know that? Did you understand that that was happening when you were that?
Yeah,
year?
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
How did you know that?
I think because a lot of them told me. Because like I said, I was the least kid. I was like on the cusp, you know?
Right. People are coming to you for advice.
Yeah, not really, but I definitely was hearing some stuff.
Right. You're like, look, I don't know what it's like. They're like, I don't know what it's like in seventh grade, but let me just get your advice on this quick thing. He's not writing me back.
Yeah. But this is also like before, like texting is a big thing. But I remember knocking on dressing rooms and then people being like, and like scurrying around and then being like, oh, it's fine. It's just Addison.
You are a very witty person. And I remember writing you a text message like 2 months ago being like, hey, so like you're on Twitter. I didn't know. And you're like, why? Why didn't you know that?
And like everybody knows that.
But I didn't know that about you. Okay. If you are bored of this conversation right now, please just literally put the thing on pause and go check out Addison's Twitter feed. It's pretty great.
Twitter.com/AddieJ, AddiJay.
Okay, shameless plug. Now, tell me a little bit about it, though, because you clearly put some thought into these tweets, and you can't just say, like, oh, it's just they just come to me. You think about them, you analyze them, you probably change them around a bit, revise them, and then put them out, but What's the goal? Because you're not a writer necessarily. I mean, you could consider yourself a writer for mm-hmm. these tweets, I guess. Mm-hmm. But like when I read them, that's what I thought. And I think I said that to you. I was like, you should be writing more. You should be doing something with this.
Well, that's, I mean, that is the goal.
To be like trying things out on there?
Well.
Or you're saying ultimately?
No, ultimately writing like is a big part of my life, has always been a big part of my life. And I want it to be a bigger part of my life.
Right.
And or part of my career. But I don't know how it started. I think how it started was when I found myself like in LA, for the very first time, like being in a dating world.
Yes.
And
being in a dating world.
And it was just like something that I was like, I've only seen this in movies. Like I just had no idea.
Which part?
Just like the date and.
Yes.
And the texting and the not texting and the playing it cool and the dating 10 people at one time and the
how did
all
that
of
go
those
for you?
Things. I mean,
the dating 10 people at
well, I couldn't one time. That's the things I couldn't
you could only
do
get
it.
To nine.
No, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do the juggling game.
Sure.
I'm not a good liar and I when someone was like, "Well, what are you doing?" I was like, "Dah!" if I was with someone and I just couldn't do it. So I wasn't great at it.
Okay, so tell me about your worst date ever.
Oh.
Or what's the one that you're like, well,
I guess probably,
let me tell you this one.
I guess probably it was the one where I was super excited about it being a date and then found out mid-date that it was not a date at all. And I was like, oh, no.
Okay, how did you think it was and then how did you realize it wasn't?
Well, I thought it was because he said, I'll pick you up at 8. And I was like, I've seen movies.
This is how a date starts.
Yeah, and okay. I was wearing a dress, which I also thought was the appropriate move, you know?
Well, it depends on what kind of dress we're talking about.
It was a 100% a date dress.
Okay, which is like for guys who don't know what that means, what is that?
It was like a form-fitting dress, and it was like the color was white and nude.
Got it.
And I wore...
Say no more.
And I wore
date dress.
And I wore heels.
Got it.
That had straps on them, so I wouldn't fall down.
Got it.
And then I went, and then I. Ooh, so this is when I get.
How old are you? Paint the picture 20, a little bit more.
21.
Okay, so 7 days ago.
No, unfortunately.
So 21. You're in ago. LA. Mm-hmm. You're. How did you find this date?
Well, that's kind of
that really. Wasn't a date.
We met. I thought he was cute.
Like working together, or just saw him on in a deli
in a work environment.
Okay.
And I thought he was cute, and then I think that I flirted with him, and I think I gave him my number, or maybe he emailed me, and vice versa. I don't remember.
Okay.
But then there was a number exchange.
Well, no, that does actually matter in this story, because if it's an email, it's a little bit more hands off as far as the date goes.
Right, but then it's
probably
there was
not a date.
But there was definitely a phone number exchange from the email.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
So then it was the date, and so he picks me up and I get in his car and he says, "So this is how I knew first," because he was like, "Oh man, I just had dinner with my parents," and I was like, "Cool," because I kind of thought we were going to dinner.
Got it. He didn't say like let's go get dinner or not.
He said like let's get together, and then he said I'll pick you up at 8. So I was just,
and especially 8.
That's I was like,
the
that's
prime
that's what I'm
time.
That's what I'm saying. Like I was like, I've seen movies. I know that this is we're going out to dinner, but then we were not, and I probably had eaten like a cracker
an
all day. Yeah, and I was like, oh god. Then I was on the date, and I saw someone that I hadn't gone on a date with, but I think liked me and asked me on a date or something. And so then I got immediately super nervous when I ran into him because I was on this date-looking thing.
Sure.
And
you're
then
like, this is not what it.
And then this is when the guy like. Goes, "No, I didn't," because I was still kind of thinking like, "Okay, if it's not dinner, maybe it's still the date."
Drinks
but
date.
But then the guy goes, "Was that like weird? Is that someone like blah blah blah? Does he know that we're not on a date?" I know.
Which is his way of saying, do you know that we're not on a date right now?
Yeah.
Or are you still thinking that that's...
And it was pretty...
So, okay. Why was it not a date to him?
He regrets it. That's all I'll say.
You made him regret it. You probably said that actually in the moment too. I'm going to make you regret this.
Yeah. It's made the worst mistake of your life.
Okay, so then what? You continue to have drinks with this guy? And
yeah.
And then that was, you're like, all right, bye.
And then that was it, yeah.
Did he drive you home?
Mm-hmm.
He did.
And I was like, thanks for nothing. No, actually, and we ended up becoming good friends, and we kind of worked together.
But just never dated.
Never dated.
His loss, right?
I don't know.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
And now it's time for a new segment called That Time I Accidentally Gave My Dog Magic Mushrooms, where we hear anonymous stories from people who almost killed their pets.
So I had to fly home to Vegas, where I grew up, to go to a dentist appointment before I went to Coachella. And I flew with probably, I think it was 2 patties of mushrooms, so it's enough for like 8 to 10 people. And I went to the dentist appointment. For some reason, right when I was pulling up, I was like, wow, imagine if my mom's dog found my mushrooms in my backpack, because she's a beagle. They find everything. I walk in after the dentist. My mom's still at work. There's trash everywhere on the ground, and she's just laying there, and I'm like, oh my God, it's my backpack on the ground. All my snacks are eaten. The chocolate mushrooms, the bag was empty. She ate both of them. She's sitting there. I'm like, okay, like, she could be okay. It's fine. She's not freaking out. I've only been gone like an hour, so it'd probably be starting to hit pretty soon. And I go over and pet her, and she just freaks out. She starts rolling on her back. She's howling. Not to mention, she's blind, and her eyes have been removed. She can't see anything, and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, oh my God, Penny, I am so sorry. I'm like, you can't even, like, see what's happening in the world right now. You're missing, like, the most beautiful thing. So I'm like, oh, crap. What do I do? I'm like, I can't tell my mom. This is my mom's dog. This is, like, her life. It's like, oh, God. So I end up calling her because the dog is freaking out. She won't stop howling. She's, like, crawling on me. So I call my mom, and she's like, what do you mean? What kind of mushrooms? And I'm like, hallucinogenic mushrooms. So she's at work, and so she's trying to keep her shit together, and she's like, okay, the vet's card is on the fridge. Call them and see what they can do. I'm like, she's gonna lose it. She's gonna freak out on me when she gets home. I go to the fridge, I look at the card, it's tie-dye, and it says The Grateful Pet. I was like, could this be, like, any more perfect right now? So I call them. They told me, okay, you need to bring her in immediately. So my friend's actually walking up to go with me from down the street. And we're driving, and I have the funniest video on my phone. I'm driving, and I go, oh my God, I just drugged my mom's dog with mushrooms. She's in between both of us, just freaking out, howling, howling, howling. We pull up, she walks in. They're like, oh, it's Penny. And they take her in the back, and they're like, okay, we're going to give her some charcoal pills. Like, we're going to make her vomit. Like, she should be okay. Like, it's a good thing you brought her in. Like, she probably would have died. Then they ask where I get my chocolate mushrooms. Then they say, oh, you're the burner. You're the daughter burner. Okay, yeah, like, we go to Burning Man. We grow our own weed in our backyard. And they're showing me photos. I'm literally like, how is this happening? How are you guys all, like, just save the dog's life, and you guys don't even care? And so I'm expecting, like, $1,000 bill. I'm, like, bracing myself. It was, like, $200. I'm like, okay, the dog's fine. My mom was like, you know what? Like, you totally handled it great. You were very honest with me, and you're an adult, and you handled it.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Hey, have you guys downloaded the Spoke app yet? Spoke, S-P-O-K-E. It takes about 5 seconds. Spoke is the new social listening app from SiriusXM that curates a playlist of podcasts that you will love based on what you like. You know how you pick what type of news you want to read about on the news app? Well, why shouldn't you have something like this for your podcasts and audio docs? With over 300,000 podcasts, it is not easy to find the ones that you want. But with Spoke, they make it easy for you. They hand select them. Yes, that's right. Just for your tastes. Go to hearspoke.com/at-will to hear your favorite moments from The Drop-In and other shows from the At Will Network. You're going to like the way it sounds. I guarantee it. Did I copy that from someone? I don't think so. I think it's pretty original.
Can I ask you to play a quick game with me?
Please.
All right, this game is called 85 or never, right? 85 years old or never.
Okay.
I'm going to list off a few different things, and you say 85, which means you'll do that when you're 85, or you'll never do that.
Okay.
Ready? Because you're an old soul. Because you're an old soul. That's why we're doing this.
About 84, I'd
say. Did you say you're sensitive?
No, I said I what? Yes. I mean, I said
I'm sensitive.
I am super sensitive, but I was going
to
say...
To games.
No, I think I just have a feeling it's going to be a lot of 85s, but we'll see.
Really? All right. Well, that says something about you too. Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read you a list of statements, and you're going to tell me whether you will do this when you're 85 or you'll never do this. Number one, I will stop drinking.
Probably never. It feels like it's probably way fun to be drinking when you're 85.
I don't know.
I mean, if I made it past 85, I'm for sure going to get drunk on my 90th birthday.
I will stop tweeting.
Never.
I will be bummed that I have 20 tattoos.
Never. By the way, I have like 35.
Okay, sorry. I'm going to get another tattoo.
At 85? 85.
85?
Yeah.
You're done.
No,
85, you're going to get
I'll get another one.
At 85?
Yeah.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay.
I'm going to start playing bridge. What? Never? Or
what does that mean?
Bridge? Like the old folks card game? What? You don't know what bridge is?
No.
Okay. So when I was growing up, there would be like at the community center, a gaggle of old ladies playing bridge. This is what they did all the time, all day long. This is what they do at like all the like old homes, nursing homes.
A card game?
Yeah. Will you play it when you're 85 or will you never play it?
I love card games, so I'll probably play it when I'm 85. Okay. I don't go anywhere without a deck of cards.
That's not true.
It's true. Like if I'm traveling.
Do you have it right now?
No, if I'm traveling. Like if I'm traveling from my home to go do a job somewhere, there are two things that I always have with me.
A pack of cigarettes.
A deck of cards and a copy of Catcher in the Rye.
Come on. That's like such an artist answer.
Well, it's like.
Is that real?
It's real though.
Because you think you're holding Caulfield?
I know I am.
You should write Catcher in the Rye in the a female perspective.
I know, but it will sound so similar to Holden's perspective because I've recently been told that I have a very masculine energy.
Last night we went to karaoke.
I did not.
You did not, but I did. And we were in Koreatown.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely part of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
For the record. And as we walked out, there were people screaming on the street like crazy. People were like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. So of course we like hustled over there.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, I can't make this up, like a person on the ground and 10 people are beating the shit out of him.
What?
Like kicking him. So my immediate reaction, I was like, stop.
Yeah.
And then they all look at me like, what is this guy going to do right now?
Carry on.
I was like, does anyone have a quarter? I just wanted to use the payphone. No, but seriously, they all kind of like looked at me and they're like, he was harassing a girl. And then I was like, oh, well, not that this justifies it, but like, can I leave now? Like, yeah. I don't want to be involved. Anyway, the police came, broke it up. But this is my segue to, have you ever been in a fight?
Yeah, I got in a fight when I was... When I was spending all my child actor money on my trip in Europe, I think this is the only one, but it's for sure not, but this is the only one worth telling. And I was dancing with my girlfriend and we were in Barcelona.
And you're 13.
No, I was 18.
Okay. All right. So fine. You're in Barcelona.
And I was dancing with my friend and this guy like came up and started trying to dance like
Gerardo.
In between us, you know? Yeah. And I was like, gestured to him, no, and kind of, you know, gently pushed him aside. And then he had a whistle and he...
A rape whistle.
Kind of, but it was more like a party whistle or just an obnoxious whistle. And he blew it really loud, like in my face. And like, this is that kind of thing where like, I'm like a really small person, but like, I'm also from New York. And like, if you, you know, if you upset me, like I get really, like really big. And, so I, can you say fuck on here?
Please.
So I was like,
the more the merrier.
I was like,
Addison.
Fuck you. And I knocked the whistle out of his hand.
And then stuck it right up his.
And nope. And then he did this. He spit in my face.
Barcelona.
Barcelona.
No.
And so then my knee-jerk reaction, which is like questionable at, was to crack the bottle that I had in my hand on his head.
Right.
Which,
well,
I did.
Of course, but any of us would have done. No.
Everyone would have done that. And then this is also like.
So you did a clean break. Yeah,
and then in the movies. And it spread everyone around, like apart from the dance floor. And then I was with another girlfriend who luckily had been talking to a gentleman that was like a gentleman, was really nice, and saw that the scuffle was happening, and immediately came over, because this is when it got weirder. Is after I cracked the bottle on its head, he spit in my face again.
Wow.
Which then
this guy does not
give
up.
Which made me feel like I knew he wasn't going to hit me or anything, because I was like this little girl. Sure. So then I think I started like
stabbing him,
like swinging at him or something, and then
started cutting him with the broken
glass.
And
then the gentleman that my other girlfriend was talking to, she saw the thing happen, and he came over and grabbed him, and she was grabbing me, and I was like,
wow.
And that was that.
And then did you go home, or did you just kind of keep going?
I did. They pulled me like away, and like I went to the bathroom, and I was like wiping spit off my face, and I was so, so mad. And then I thought, what better way to handle this than just to dance? So I just
danced it away.
I danced it away, and then I went home.
I just feel like the spit thing, it's the worst thing you can do to someone.
Really, really.
I think it's worse than a punch in the nose.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Because there's so much more behind it as well. There's like this deep.
It's personal.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, you.
And I
didn't.
Wasn't sure if it was about me or if it was about the whistle. Like, I don't know if that was like a really important whistle, you know, because it felt personal. It was one of his favorite whistles. It's like probably to this day the most shocking thing that's ever happened to me.
Totally. What do you want to be remembered for?
I thought you were gonna say, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do I want to be remembered for? Mm-hmm. My Twitter
when you
feed.
Grow up.
My Twitter feed.
Actually, come on.
No.
If that's it, that's cool too.
No, I guess like what I want to be remembered for, like sincerely, is being a positive person in people's lives. Like when they're sitting back and going like, I remember Addison. What a nice little lady. But that's a big part of it. But also I would like to be remembered for working hard and being kind and yeah, telling some, you know, bad taste jokes along the way.
Totally. I like that.
Yeah.
Do you think you're a positive person mostly?
I think, yeah, but I think that I'm not like inherently a positive person, but I think it's something that I work towards. And I think that the darkness or whatever, or like the cynicism is something that I think that's where I like enjoy like the writing and the comedy aspects of it, because I think it's like a through line with every person. And I think if we can laugh at it, then that's making it a positive thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Speaking of dark and whatever the adjective was that you just used.
Cynical?
Cynical, yeah. This role that you did in Little Sister is the darkest. Everyone look it up, because it's like Addison in a pink bob and white face.
And white face.
The white face is the really freaky part, because then it's like, is she... When I just looked at it and you started posting about it, I was like, is she a toy?
I know, I looked like a toy, right?
Yeah, is she a doll that comes to life? That's what I thought it was, and murders everyone. That was the thought that I put behind it.
There's
so,
the interpretive dance, the Guar song, too. That movie is really special to me, and I love it so much. But the movie Little Sister is about a girl that had, you know, not a lot of structure in her life with her parents. And I think that her parents were like these like very like free hippie, you know, kind of folks. And then herself and her brother kind of go in the opposite direction, I think, which can happen sometimes when your parents are one way and then you got to be a different way. And so he goes into the military, and she is then kind of abandoned by him and left alone with this like chaotic family. And her mom is severely depressed and suicidal, and she can't take it so much. So she goes to New York and finds like this world of structure by trying to become a nun.
Right, as one does.
Right, as one does.
So this is very uplifting. This is like a super light.
It actually becomes so. But then when she is at this crossroads that happens when you're a nun, before you take your vows, after you've taken your temporary vows, you know, like you have to like really wrestle with like, am I really going to commit the rest of my life to JC.
Okay, so how can we see it?
It's on Netflix. Oh, and it's on iTunes.
It's on Netflix and it's on iTunes. Go check it out. And it was also in the South by Southwest Festival and did very well and got very good reviews. And Addison got very good reviews from it as well.
And it was the number one movie of 2016 in the New Yorker magazine.
And it was the number one movie of 2016 in New Yorker magazine, guys. I don't know if you
guys
know that. I just wanted to make sure that you heard that.
That's some highbrow shit, you know?
I'm like your hype man. Ladies and gentlemen, from the number one movie at
2016.
Oh. So what should we be looking forward to?
Like,
besides your tweets.
Besides my tweets. Okay, well, I did a movie that also premiered at South by Southwest this past year. That's called Like Me. And that's a movie that I'm super proud of with the director. His name's Robert Mockler, who is like incredibly talented and quite a visionary, and it's quite a dark tale. That's probably the darkest role I've ever played, and that will be like finding its way to you know, like a sweet indie sized distribution deal, and then also will be either like Amazon or Netflix or something, probably not long after that. So that's something coming soon. And then in September, I recently joined the cast of Startup, the TV show on Crackle that stars Martin Freeman and Adam Brody and all these other great people. And I came on the show this year with Ron Perlman, and I play his daughter. And that comes out, the season two premieres in September.
Great. Congrats.
Thank you. It's a really great show. You can watch season one for free on Crackle and get yourself all caught up.
How do you get Crackle?
Crackle is like, it's that orange icon. It's that orange icon on your Apple TV. It's
okay.
And you can get it on any smart TV.
What about my computer?
And your computer, I'm sure.
Okay, fine.
I don't know much about computers, but
we don't have to know about them to.
But you
to
can
be able to watch
you
this.
Can definitely find it.
Okay, I have one. I think one last question for you.
Okay.
Where did this love for baseball, specifically the New York Mets, come from?
My brother.
Tell the story.
So like I was saying before, you know, like when that time came when I didn't have like all my adult Broadway musical friends to be friends with anymore, and I had to like kind of be a kid and learn how to go to school like a normal person. And my brother was a year or two, he's 2 years older than me, so he was ahead of me in that game, and he had friends and was doing stuff, and I just like, he's my hero, and I just always thought he was the coolest. And when we were young, we were hanging out all the time. And I guess it was around that time, like middle school for him, that he started really loving the New York Mets. And so what first started as like a way to still hang out with him instead of like fighting for the TV, just learning to enjoy watching baseball. And then in high school, going to the games and stuff, I don't think there's any place that I'm happier in the whole world than at a baseball game.
But So like any huge baseball fan's story of why they love it so much, there's always like some deeper rooted thing, and that is with your brother.
Yeah, but then also the thing too is but baseball is so romantic, and it's such like,
it's said like one female ever.
No, people say that's a true thing.
Okay.
And it's like Americana in its finest form, and it's I love the tradition of it. I love the pace of it. I love like the superstitious elements of it.
Are you superstitious?
I am, like, especially, I think that's part of it too, is like, especially doing theater, like doing like the things that I had to do like specifically step by step before every single performance, I imagine are not unlike the things that baseball players like superstitiously have to do before every game. And knowing that, I felt like, yeah, I get that. I know what that's like. And there's just more heart in baseball, I think, than in any other sport. And maybe I'm biased, but
there's a lot of heart in it, but they like don't even have to run that much. They're just kind of standing around.
But that's the thing, is like, it's not about running. It's about the love of the game.
Quote it, guys. You heard it here. It's for the love of the game with Addison Timlin.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on The Drop-In.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Drop-In. Thank you to my guest, Addison Timlin. And make sure to catch Startup on the Crackle app. Second season starts on Thursday, September 28th. Make sure to catch us next week for a brand new episode of The Drop-In. Brand new guest and a brand new host, hopefully. I'm trying to replace myself. Be sure to leave a review on the Apple Podcast app and make sure to comment on Spoke. Do you have it yet? I've given you like, what, 30, 40 minutes to download this thing? You should have it by now. And please go check out our new merchandise on atwill.us. You love that merch. Get that hoodie, girl. Have a good day. Thanks again to our partner Spoke, SiriusXM's new app that allows you to listen to podcasts, radio programs, and documentaries curated for you. Go to hearspoke.com/atwill now.